When it comes to God's commandments, as fallen sinners, we have two tendencies. One is to add to the commandments, and the other is to take away from them. Because the commandments, left alone by themselves, put demands on the whole person and end up convicting us. This is largely what Jesus was dealing with in the Sermon on the Mount. With each one of the commandments, the commandment to not murder, the commandment to not take God's name in vain, the commandment to not commit adultery, Jesus pointed out ways in which, pursuant to the traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees, the commandments had both been taken away from and added to. Now, the reason why we want to add to is because in our fallenness, we prefer sort of an arm's length business relationship with God. You know how we do with one another. If we're frustrated in a certain relationship, we're tempted to say, well, you just tell me what you want. Make a list. What am I supposed to do? You know, boil it down to a list. And that's what we like to do with God. We want him to boil it down to an easy punch button list of things that we can do and not do, and then he has to leave us alone. And so that's why we want to add to the commandments. We want to boil everything down to that kind of a do and don't list. On the other hand, where we tend to take away from God's commandments is to take away the part that goes and reaches the heart. Okay? Now, we can do that out of two different forms of carnality. One form of carnality is that we simply just don't want to do God's word. And so we don't want him getting too close. We don't want his commands putting demands on our inner person. That's too close. That's one form of carnality. The other form of carnality has the appearance of more godliness than that. And that's this form. If we leave anything to people's discretion, in other words, if we leave the law speaking to the heart, and we don't boil it all down to black and white little do's and don'ts, then somebody in the church is going to sin. And we don't want that going on in the church. And so that's the more godly version. But as Paul points out in Colossians, adding to the commandments, trying to build a fence around the commandments, boiling them all down to simple do's and don'ts, is a high form of carnality, a very high form of it. And it leads always to much more problems than what it solves. Now, last week we saw that when it comes to the ninth commandment, do not bear false witness against your neighbor, even the modern evangelical church has fallen into the temptation to both add to and take away from. Last week we looked at how the church has tended to add to this, and the way it's added to this commandment is by saying that any propositional falsehood under any circumstances is always sin. And the examples that I've personally heard within the evangelical church is the classic one, somebody breaks into your home, they have a gun, where's your wife and your daughters so that I can rape them and kill them? And and I'm telling you, there's a widespread evangelical analysis of that that would say, it's okay for you to shoot them, but you may not lie to them. That would be a sin. And we looked at last week at how there are people in the Bible in the Hall of Fame of Faith precisely for lying, because they lied against the evil ones. If you can shoot somebody in the back of the head righteously, I submit to you, it's okay to lie to them righteously. So that's how we have added to it. But where we have taken away from it has to do with things such as gossip and slander, which are pointed out here in the Heidelberg Catechism. When we add to, it's always going to tempt us to take away from. Now, when it comes to gossip and slander and things like this, Christians have a great deal of confusion about what it means. Slander basically means a falsehood. You're sharing a falsehood in order to manipulate somebody, and it always is a case where, due to our own personal conflicts and rivalries, our own personal pride, our own personal sense of woundedness or wrongness in a certain relationship, we want to take a third person and we want to distance their heart from somebody else. We want to draw them into our company, into our personal loyalty, oftentimes into our personal grievance, and we want to alienate them in heart from another person. So a slander would mean telling a falsehood for the purpose of negatively affecting another person's opinion of another. It can be a total lie, or it can be a partial lie. Most lies are partial lies. Rarely do you have a lie that's a total lie. It may be telling part of the truth as though it were the whole truth, thus creating a false impression. That would be slander. Now, gossip is even slipperier than that. It's much harder to pin down. A common mistake that Christians often make is to confuse gossip with either slander, which involves falsehood. Gossip can be telling the complete truth, okay? So it does not necessarily involve falsehood. The other way that Christians confuse gossip is by confusing it with hearsay, okay? Hearsay, you have to remember, people throw that word around. Hearsay is a legal term. It is a technical term. It is a rule of evidence. It basically means, it refers to secondhand information, whereas gossip may involve firsthand information. I've heard Christians say before, they're talking about somebody else, and they go, well, this isn't gossip because we witnessed this. That has nothing to do with it. Whether you witnessed it, didn't witness it, got it secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand, has nothing to do whether it is gossip. Hearsay has to do with the ability to challenge the ultimate source of the information in a courtroom. And that's why secondhand information or hearsay is normally not allowed. That's a completely separate category from gossip. The essence of gossip, and here's why it's so easy for us to do it, the essence of gossip is telling the truth, or at least what you believe to be the truth, not for any righteous purpose, but for the purpose of negatively affecting the hearer's opinion of some third person. And again, it comes down to us, it comes down to our pride, it comes down to our rivalries with other people, it comes down to our grievances, our sense of having been wrong, but we're not wanting to deal with it righteously. We don't want to, number one, let love cover. Love covers a multitude of sins. There is no way in the world that we could ever sort out all of our sins by going to one another and confronting one another with it. It'd be the biggest mess you ever saw very quickly. Most sins have to have love covering them. God does that toward us. He wants our souls to get bigger so that we can do that toward one another. Now, there's some sins that rise to the magnitude and to the effect of where that's not really proper, it's not really going to happen, another step has to be taken. But the Bible says what you do there is you go to your brother or your sister. You go after prayer. You go in humility. You do not go to vindicate yourself. You go to be right before God and to be reconciled with your brother or your sister. If you don't want those goals, you got to go back to God, because you're not walking in the same way that he wants you to walk. If you have a doubt about, should I go to a person about this particular circumstance, this particular thing, or should love just cover it, don't go to your friends. That's one of our main excuses for gossip. You know, another main excuse is prayer request. I'm sharing prayer request. Or I'm trying to get advice or counsel. Don't go to your friends. Come to one of the elders. Come to me. That's what we're here for. Come where you can share with somebody whose responsibility it is to help you, and you can share in a clinical setting where the purpose is obviously not for you to pull somebody into your orbit or into your grievance. Now, when you look at all these subtleties, it's so easy for us to say, well, look, are you kidding me? All these other sinners in the church, there's no way they can apply these kind of heart principles. We can't have it that way. We got to come up with a bunch of black and white do's and don'ts, or somebody's going to mess it up. Well, you're right. Somebody is going to mess it up. But we have to leave it where it is, because God wants his children to grow up. And you do not grow up with just a bunch of little black and white do's and don'ts. You never grow up that way. You never grow up unless you learn the practice of honestly looking at your own heart, of stepping out of your own feelings and your hurts and your wounds and your angers, stepping out and saying, you know, my heart, my feelings, my thoughts, my grievances are really not a very good guide. God's word is the guide. The truth is out here. It's outside me. The truth is not determined purely within me. I have to step outside myself. I have to look at the word of God. I have to place myself in the position of my neighbor or even my enemy. That's what the golden rule is, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. How can you do that if you can't put yourself in their shoes? And it means that these are the things that you desire: to be right before God, for your brother and sister to be right before God, and for you and your brother and sister to be right with one another. So when we do this and trust to God, it means that we understand that life flows first and foremost from God to us. Life first and foremost is not lateral, us in competition with one another. Once you take God and his presence out of the picture and we lose sight of that, we will begin to go through life judging everything and trying to maintain our own fragile sense of self-worth by comparing ourselves with others. We will find it necessary for us to feel superior to someone. We will find it necessary to maintain our grievances. We will find it necessary to try to make other people indebted to us in some way. We will become manipulators. We will become sly, even with the truth, so that we can manage people, control their affections, control their loyalties, pull them into our orbit as opposed to someone else's. This is what makes the fallen world go around. It's what makes fallen politics go around. This is not what God wants from us, and he demands that we grow up.